Let's take our Bibles, go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Some of the greatest verses in the Bible are in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. Great verses to have memorized. Great verses to live by. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. How much is all? 100%. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Bible, and we thank you now for opportunity through your word to open it, to read it, to study it, and live by it. Help us to do that. Help it to be something that is life-changing because we see and hear from your word tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Trust in who? Trust in the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The Lord Jehovah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all thy ways acknowledge him, trusting in him, trusting in the Lord. Remember in Acts chapter 9, when Saul was confronted by Jesus, he said, "What wilt thou have me to do, Lord?" He already knew who he was talking to as the words were coming out of his mouth. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That name is the Lord Jesus Christ, him and him alone. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Now, it's interesting, with your finger in Proverbs chapter 3, that this is the foundation for everything. As a matter of fact, can you have salvation without trusting in the Lord? Acts chapter number 8, there is a verse that's missing from a lot of the modern Bibles. You have a Bible from any other religion or any other modern version than the old King James Bible that was translated from the correct text, you have a Bible that's most likely missing verse 37. Verse 36, Philip is talking to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he teaches them and preaches to him Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 36, "And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' Verse 37, Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. If thou believest with all thine heart.'" Verse 37 is missing in a lot of Bibles. So then it just goes to verse 38. "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them." Well, what good is that? What good is the baptism without the belief? And it's not just belief in the head. It's with how much of your heart? 100%. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And so without verse 37, the belief is taken out. There is no salvation. Without trusting in the Lord with all your heart, there is no salvation. Trusting in the Lord with all our heart. That means to just put it all on him, to trust in him. I've told that story before about the man who put a tightrope across the Niagara Falls. I don't even know if this is an accurate story. It's just a good illustration. And I know there's people that have tightroped across the falls. But this man put this tightrope across the falls, and then he went and he got his balance beam, and he went out and he walked across the tightrope. And then he walked all the way back, turned around, spun around, and walked back. Then he went and got a wheelbarrow, put the wheelbarrow and put some sacks of sand in the wheelbarrow, went back out, put the wheelbarrow on the rope, stood on the rope, and walked with the wheelbarrow on the rope and walked across, somehow turned around, got around, walked back. By this time, people are cheering and it's an amazement. They're cheering and shouting and clapping their hands. And he goes and he gets his dog. He puts his dog in the wheelbarrow and he goes back out. Dog's probably scared to death. Probably the animal lovers are scared to death too. And he goes back out and he turns around, comes all the way back. Dog's fine. Everyone's just screaming and cheering. And so then he says, "All right, how many of you believe I can put a man in this wheelbarrow and do it?" And several hands went up. And so he pointed to one person that had their hand up and said, "All right, sir, how about you?" And that guy that he pointed to pulled his hand down and took off running. Sure, I believe you can put a man in the wheelbarrow, just don't put me in the wheelbarrow. Well, that man didn't trust, all right? Oh, I believe you can do it, just not with me. I don't want me to be the one. I think that sometimes people believe God can do things, but that doesn't mean that they're saved. That doesn't mean they've trusted in him. You know, it's one thing to say, "Oh, I believe God can do things." It's another thing to say, "I'm going to get in his wheelbarrow. I'm going to get in his wheelbarrow." See, you can't have one foot on the land and the other foot in the wheelbarrow, because pretty soon he's going to get too far apart. And so you got to trust one or the other. And so trust with all is 100%. That's when you say, "I'm putting it all in God's wheelbarrow." And by the way, you can trust God and his wheelbarrow. You can trust him. And without trusting in him, there's no salvation. So a lot of people have an acknowledgement in the head that God can do things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are saved or that they have salvation, because they believe he can save. But when they recognize that they need to get into his wheelbarrow. And that's why Philip said to that Ethiopian, "If thou believest with all thine heart," you step out on him and him alone. You trust in him and him alone for salvation. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, back in our text of Proverbs chapter 3, that's just good advice. Trust in the Lord. So we start out trusting in him for salvation. And until someone is trusting in the Lord for salvation, they're not born again and they're not on their way to heaven. But once they are trusting in the Lord for salvation, it's easy then to start forgetting or to start leaning back to our own understanding. And we all know what a dangerous defeat that is when we lean to our own understanding. We've trusted in the Lord and we stop trusting in him, or we stop leaning on him, but we lean to our own understanding. I want to explain some verses to you, preparing our heart. Ezra chapter 7, backing up a few pages. Ezra, Nehemiah, Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Let me ask you, have you prepared your heart? Have you prayed? Have you gone to church, maybe even come to church tonight, today, and said, "Lord, I want you to teach me, I want you to speak to my heart, and I'm already deciding, already, that I'm going to do whatever it is you teach me today." Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. He prepared his heart. What do you think that means, prepared his heart? That probably means that he blocked out other junk so that his heart could be prepared to focus on the Lord. He prepared ahead of time his heart to seek the law of the Lord. And then not only to that, but not only to seek it, but then to what? To do it. To do it. I've already decided that what God tells me, I'm going to do. I think a lot of times people are saying, "I want to find out what God says to see if I'm going to do it, to see if I want to do it. I'm curious to know what God says because I'm curious to see if it's something I want to do." That's not trusting in the Lord with all our heart, and that's certainly not preparing our heart to seek the Lord. Over in Daniel chapter number 1 and verse 8, I'm not going to have you turn there, but Daniel 1 and verse 8, the Bible says that Daniel was a captive in Babylon, and he was a young man with his friends, and the Bible says that Daniel, in verse 8 of Daniel 1, did something with his heart. Does anybody know what he did? He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He purposed in his heart that he would not eat of the king's meat or drink of the king's wine. He would not defile himself with something that he knew God would not have him to do. He was going to trust in the Lord with all his heart. He purposed in his heart. Ezra prepared his heart. Listen, we have to learn to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." If we would hide God's word in our heart, it would help us and save us a lot of pain, trusting in him with all our heart. Jesus said, if a man looks upon a woman and lusts after her in his heart, he's committing adultery with her in his heart. Well, if we hide God's word in our heart and the Spirit of God is there to remind us of sin that's in our heart, we would say, "No, I can't even think those thoughts." Listen, if we would learn to guard our heart and to block out the thoughts that are wrong, then we would never commit the actual action. I think many, many men have committed adultery in their heart, but the ones that recognized it as adultery, even in their thought life, were able to avoid the action, which is really, really damaging, as opposed to just the temptation. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart means everything, all of your being, the center of your whole being. Jesus said in John 14:15, let's turn there and read what he said. John 14 and look at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. With all your heart means with all your emotion, with all your energy, with all your love. If you love me, keep my commandments. Sometimes coaches will say, you know, there's just no heart in it. He's got talent. He's got a lot of knowledge. He's got skill, but there's no heart. There's no heart in what he's doing or what she's doing. There's no heart in it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Look down at verse 23 and 24. Jesus answered and said to them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. If you love him, you're going to keep his commandments. You're going to know. You're going to say, wait a minute, where is that found where Jesus said, looking at a woman is love? I want to know what that's all about, because I don't want to commit any sin. I don't want to defile myself in any way. I don't want to be wrong with God in any way. I want to know, rather than just, what do I have to do to get by? How do I have to pass this class? What do I got to do? Instead of just passing, I want to know how to get an A+. I want to know how to do what God would have me to do with all my heart, 100, as my father would say, 110%. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That trust means confidence and rest, assurance. And all means all, and that's all that all means. Trust in the Lord with all. And not just the big things. You know, it's amazing how when someone finds out they've got a major health issue, all of a sudden they want to start talking to God. I think that's good. But hopefully you've already had a real good relationship and a real good fellowship with God long before you found out you needed him. Long before you found out that you had a terminal illness or you had financial issues that were really draining, or there's a death in the family. Not just the big things. It doesn't say trust in the Lord for all the major things in your life. That's not what it says. It says trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. With the small things, each day, each moment, every decision. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I get up in the morning and pray about whether or not I should use this soap or this soap, whether or not I should wear that pair of socks or that pair of socks, or if I should have Cheerios or Wheaties. I'm not saying that I pray over every little tiny decision that I make. I think God gives us our freedom of choice and a brain to use. But, Lord, should I be eating today? Lord, what should I be doing today? And I think about the night before, and what should I be eating, and should I be on a diet, and should I eat some of that cake tonight? I already know the answer. Depressing. You know, you say, well, cake isn't a big deal. You know, I tell you what, though, whatever God's will is what I want to do. I was talking with my family about a vehicle. My sons have been wanting me to upgrade my truck for a long time. I would love to see them upgrade their thing that they have too, that four-wheeled thing, whatever that is. But you know what? We just trust the Lord. Lord, is this the right time? Is this the right vehicle? Is this the right purchase? Show us the direction. And if it's you know, we lay out a prayer, and if it's an obvious no and the door slams shut, then that's an answer to our prayer. If the door swings open and there seems to be the access, then maybe God would have us to do that. But we learn to trust him, and we decide on those things. And I'm telling you right now, there's a lot more small things, quote-unquote small things, that you and I need to be trusting him in than most of us do. There's a lot more of the little things. Lord, how should I order my day? I was talking about this morning in Sunday school. Get so busy, boy, I just don't have time to read my Bible. No, that's wrong. I am so busy, I need to be reading my Bible. And I read my Bible, I take time to pray, and then I'm amazed at how God gives me that good day in spite of the fact that I was busy, and helps me along the way, and gives me direction and clarity of mind in what I have to do. Letting him lead you and guide you and direct you in all the things. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You know, the steps is one at a time. The way is the path, but the steps, each and every step. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp to my feet. That's one step at a time. And a light to my path. But it's a lamp to my feet. Sometimes, as Christians, it's the next step that's a big deal. And we need to learn to trust him and lean on him and let him guide us every moment, every decision. Should I be doing this with my time? Should I be spending my time relaxing and resting, or should I be doing something else with this period of time, this evening that I have? What does God want me to do with it? What's the best use of my time for this part of the day? What should I be doing now? He said, come on, Pastor. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord with all. Lean not to thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Listen, I don't want to make big decision boo-boos. And so it's better for me to start out practicing little decision wisdom. And it could be that over time I realize I don't need to ask him necessarily for every little thing, but it would be better, and I think he's perfectly pleased with us being so dependent that we even ask him for things that maybe we don't have to necessarily ask for, but I think he'd rather have us do that than to never ask. Get in the habit of asking him. Why not? Get in the habit of asking a lot of questions. Lord, is this person really someone I should associate with? Lord, this looks like a job opportunity, but is it something you want me to have? Is it really something I need to focus on? There's little decisions and there's big decisions, and what we decide. Now, we heard from the preacher this morning, he was talking about Moses. And how that God led Moses in Exodus 13, not the fast way, not the shortcut, not the quick way, but rather the long way around, the detour. In fact, the dead-end detour that was going to go right into the Dead Sea, the Red Sea, the dead-end Red Sea, and the dumb way. But God's way is never the dumb way. But it looks like it. If you know the story, I mean, that's exactly what they did. They didn't take the normal way. And I think Pharaoh and all the army thought these people are crazy. But what did they do? They followed this pillar of a cloud and the fire by night, and they followed that thing all the way to where God wanted them to be, and God had a plan. It doesn't make sense all the time to do it God's way, but it's always the right way. You know that? You can trust him. Somebody said this, trust and obey, and you'll be trusting okay. Trusting okay. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not as old as some other people in this room, but I'm getting older. I was going to say I'm not young anymore, but Mrs. Slagle always laughs at me when I say that. I'm not as young as I used to be. I'm getting more mature, and I am learning that you can trust and be okay. Trust and okay. It works. Trust and obey turns into trust and okay. You can trust him. He'll lead you and guide you in the right way. Look at Psalm 66, though. Psalm 66. Verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, I love the way that's written, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I think probably every day in my imperfect human nature, there's some iniquity somewhere. It doesn't say if I have any iniquity in my life, the Lord will not hear me. What it does say is, if I know it's there, and I know it, I'm regarding it, I know it's there, and I'm not doing anything about it. That's different than being perfect. God's not asking you and I to be perfect before we come to Him. But when I know I'm wrong, and yet I'm trying to pray, I might as well stop. Folks, you can't trust in the Lord with all your heart if you're regarding iniquity in your heart at the same time. Regard means to, with warm regards, you know, you've heard that expression. You know it's there. Thoughts, you're aware of it. And you might have every box checked on the checklist as far as your parents are concerned or your pastor's concerned, your spouse. I mean, you might have everything checked off and you look squeaky clean, but that doesn't mean you don't have it in your heart. And God knows whether you do or not. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28, 25 and 26. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. You know what? The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful. And when you start trusting in your own heart, by the way, our text, Proverbs 3, says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It does not say, trust in your heart with all your heart. Here in Jeremiah, or here in Proverbs 28, it's telling us in verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. You know, you hear this a lot. Just follow your heart, honey. Just follow your heart. I'm going to tell you something right now. The only success I've ever had has been following Him, not my heart. Because my heart's deceitful. My heart should desire what He wants, and I'm trusting in Him. David was a man after God's own heart, not his own heart. When David was after his own heart, he got in trouble. Trust in the Lord, not your own heart. The heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Don't lean on your own understanding. Back there in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You know, God has logic. He's logical. In Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, it says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. The Bible says, my thoughts or His thoughts are higher than your ways, higher than your thoughts. His ways are higher than your ways. God's logic is higher and better and more different than yours and mine. You don't have to have an IQ to be successful as a Christian. That's what I love about being a Christian, because even somebody like me can still be successful without a high IQ. You don't have to be super intelligent. In fact, how many of us know of some super intelligent people that didn't have a lot of wisdom? Didn't amount to much because they weren't following wisdom. Listen, it's not about your IQ, it's about wisdom. And wisdom is saying, I'm not very smart. I'm going to trust in the one who's got that pillar and follow Him. And so I'm going to acknowledge Him in all my ways. I'm going to let Him direct my paths. I'm not going to lean on my what? My own what? Understanding. See, a lot of us, we have an understanding, but it's very limited. But God's logic is different. You know, in John chapter 1, you don't need to turn there. But in John chapter 1, it says this, in the beginning was the Word, capital W-O-R-D, Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is the Word? In verse 14 of that chapter, who is the Word? Jesus. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. You know what? In Greek, and I'm not telling you got to know Greek, but it's interesting. In Greek, that word for word is logos, L-O-G-O-S. It's where we get our word logic. God's word is God's logic. We understand God's logic by the word of God. The word of God gives us his insight to logic. And sometimes God's logic isn't man's logic. In other words, God isn't logical, according to our opinion. I mean, let's just be honest. Moses and the people of Israel went to a dead end at the Red Sea. That's not logical. That's not logical. But that's God's logic. Because God knows that he can split the water in half and let them go right through. God has better logic than you and I have. See what I'm saying? God's logic's better than... And so when it comes to my logic versus God's logic, whose would you rather have? Okay, when it comes to Mr. Spears' logic and God's logic, whose would you... I'm just kidding. When it comes to anybody in this room, whose logic would you... God's. But it doesn't look logical, see? The Bible says, the world knoweth us not. The world doesn't understand us because they don't understand him. They just look at us, scratch their head. What are these people? Well, if you're following God, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to look logical to the world. But here's what should be the testimony. Here's what should be the testimony. People should say, I don't get them. I don't understand them. But I will say this. They sure seem to know where they're going. They seem to come out the other side smelling okay. Smelling like a rose. How does that happen? Well, the dumber we are, the better glory he gets, doesn't he? I mean, he looks at us and say, well, it ain't that pastor they got. It sure ain't the people. What is it? It's God. It's God. And we, when we stop worrying about what everybody thinks and we stop leaning to our own understanding, we can trust him with all our heart, and we can find out that his ways are higher than our ways. Look at with me in Jeremiah. Keep your finger in Proverbs 3, but go to Jeremiah 9 and Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 9, 23. Jeremiah 9, 23 says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Whew. You realize how privileged we are that we even know God? Did you hear what that missionary said this morning? You and I have all 66 books sewed together in one volume. And all we got to do is open up and read it. And we even got different ones. I got nice leather cover. I got bigger print if I want to. We got all, and we got most of us have more than one copy. Do we understand and know him? Are we digging into what he's saying? Finding out what he'd have for us to know? Look at Jeremiah 10, verse 23. Just one more chapter. Jeremiah 10, 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. How foolish when we get proud of some kind of an accomplishment that, oh, wow, look at you. You really did something. No, we just follow God. We don't really know a whole lot. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Verse 24, O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. I just want to follow you in all my ways. I just want to lean on you and not my own understanding. I want you to guide and direct me. Lean not unto your own understanding. We have some graduates here tonight, freshly graduated, freshly about to get a birthday, getting older. They got a lot of leaning on their own understanding temptations. They got a lot of things where they need to practice right now, all this stuff, and they should hopefully have been practicing it already. I'm going to trust in the Lord. Pray about it. What does God want you to do? Pray about it. What would God have you to do? God's interested in what you eat. But that doesn't mean you have to pray about everything you eat. But God's interested in what you eat or how much you eat. God's interested in what you wear. God's interested in where you live. God's interested in where you go next. God's interested in whether you get a job or you get a more education. God's interested in all those things. Ask him what he wants. Ask him. God's interested in you having a partner someday, I believe. Ask him who it should be. A few weeks ago, I was telling the story about how Hannah ended up with a guy friend. My daughter ended up with someone who is interested in her. But what we love about the story, what I personally love about the story, is I was just following God without knowing anything else. I'm just following God. And out of the clear blue, without any intention, without any foreknowledge at all, God put it together. I like that. I like it that it wasn't me trying to plan or make something happen. But I love that kind of thing. I love it when God drops things into my lap, because then I know I wasn't trying to manipulate it or make it happen. You know what I'm saying? You know, let me just give you a real common sense thing here. And this has just popped into my head, but you know what happens to a guy or a girl? And I guess it's supposedly mostly a girl, and I'm not just saying this for Dakota's sake, but as a way of illustration, when you as a young lady try to allure a guy, there's always that insecurity of whatever it was I allured him with is how I'm going to have to keep him. You see what I'm saying there? Now listen to me. If you didn't allure him, if you didn't attract him with some manipulation, and by the way, how many of you know that's what a lot of girls are trying to do right now at that young age? And how many of you know that? How many of you with the older gray hairs in here know that after a while, all those allurements start to vanish? Just try to be nice. So don't use it. Don't go that route. I just talked to somebody today, married 23 years, but not together anymore. Listen, instead, let God be the matchmaker. Let God be the one that puts it together. Just trust in the Lord. Hey, God knows what. In fact, God knows what will make you happy more than you know what will make you happy. And it's not just with guy-girl relationships. I mean, it's with everything. How about dollars and cents? I mean, I would imagine, I don't go to high school, but I would imagine in high school, because I know this kind of, in fact, this conversation came up today in our car concerning college. College, it seems like, what are they always pushing? They're hoping that you will pay them a lot of money so that they can give you a piece of paper so that you can go out and make a lot of money. Somebody was just telling me, somebody today at a lunch was just telling me that their relative has a student loan that now needs to be paid, and it's $800 a month. That's a house payment. That would depress me right there. But you know what, folks? What happens is that they wave this thing in front of the young people called dollars. But what they're really doing is they're selling a product. It's a piece of paper called a diploma. And they're go get a student loan, go spend money so you can make money. And a lot of times it can be a good thing and there couldn't be some wisdom in it. However, it's a racket, a lot of it. And all I'm saying is, pray and ask God before you go into debt. I think a lot of debt is sin. I didn't say all of it. I'm not trying to judge anyone, but a lot of debt is a result of just not asking God, God, what did you want me to do? You want me to buy this? You want me to invest in this or not? Somebody else was saying, yeah, I know somebody that went to college for 4 years. And you know, I remember who it was now. Our boys was talking about it. Went to college for 4 years. By the time they got done with their fourth year of college and got their diploma, their degree was obsolete. They didn't have that thing anymore. You know, underwater basket weaving or whatever it was they went to college for. You know what I mean? It's just they don't need one of those anymore. I'm trying to tell you that man has their ideas, but God's way is best. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't allow dollars per hour wage influence your decision. Trust God for what you do and don't do. Ask God for his wisdom as to whether or not this is a good choice. Sometimes things really are too good to be true. Don't buy it just because it looks good or has a flashy sign or a flashy whatever. Ask God for wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The missionary's father that was here today from Alaska, he was telling me about his family, his four children. He said, all four of my children are in church somewhere serving the Lord, and this one's going to India, obviously. And he said, but my daughter went through 4 years of college. She went through 4 years of college, and she was done, and she really didn't know for sure what to do next. And our younger daughter was going down to a Bible college down in California. And so we encouraged her, why don't you go with your sister down to California and just go to that Bible college for a year, and you don't got nothing else to do. So she did. She went to the Bible college for that year, and then she went to this youth conference back at her home church in Alaska. Well, there was this young man, this young youth pastor guy that came down from Fairbanks, Alaska, down to Seward, Alaska, to preach at the youth conference. And there was this older, not teenage, but older college-age girl sitting there and chopping, whatever, you know what I mean? That was it. Because I asked him, I said, how did they meet if he's in Fairbanks? God did it. We didn't plan it. We didn't orchestrate anything. You just trust the Lord. I'm not preaching this just to teenagers, but we know that these are the years. I mean, and how many would love to be back at their age right now? Dakota's age, even Gunner's age. We'd love to be back at that age where you still have a lot of choices in front of you. Now, on the other hand, we might not want to be, but we have a lot of choices still in front of us. A lot of things that are about to happen. Don't blow it by just saying, well, here's what I want to do, or here's what I think might be a good idea, but trust the Lord. Let God lead you and guide you and direct your path. Let him. He will show you. He'll lead you in the right way. Don't get in a hurry. When I was in college, of course, the worst thing in the world, I think probably it's the same in high school, the worst thing in the world is to not have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. How many of us older people know it's going to be okay even if you don't have one at age 20? It's still okay. It's all right. You'll live. A lot of that's just peer pressure. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, let's talk about acknowledging him. Notice back there in Proverbs chapter 3, we have in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all. Now notice verse 6. In all. That word shows up again. Isn't that interesting? Now, you know what I would have to say? I'm going to say this. I think I'm pretty much right on the spot when I say it. You can't possibly be acknowledging him with all your ways unless you're trusting him with all your heart. But if you have and are trusting him with all your heart, then it will be easy to acknowledge him with all your ways. But he can't have that area. Then you're not trusting him with all your heart. But I'm afraid he's going to change what I want to do. Then you're not trusting him with all your heart. But when you're trusting him with all your heart, then it becomes easy to acknowledge him with all your ways. With all your ways. Your calendar, your future, your money, your everything. It becomes easy to trust him with all your ways because you've already trusted him with all your heart. So it just goes together. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And let him direct your paths. Look with me in Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Psalm 32 and verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. Here's that word. I acknowledged In all thy ways acknowledge him. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. You aren't trusting him, and you aren't acknowledging him when you're still harboring sin. But when you are acknowledging him in all your ways, he will, in other words, God, I'm talking to you again today, and I'm asking you to show me direction. I tell you, the first thing he's going to do is point at the sin and say, well, that right there's got to go. Before we can even put it in drive and start forward, you've got that sin right there that's got to be taken care of. And so when you start acknowledging him with all your ways, the very first thing that happens is he starts to show you sin that needs to be acknowledged and needs to be confessed. And we start to say, whoa, that shouldn't be there. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. This is why you got to know the Word of God. This is why you need to be in church where you're going to hear the Word of God preached. Because the more you acknowledge him, and the more you acknowledge the sin that's there, and the more he puts his finger on that sin, the more you'll get right with him, the closer you'll be with him. And the closer you'll be with him, the more you'll be able to hear what he wants you to do and go the right direction. Let's keep reading. For this shall everyone that is godly, verse 6, pray unto thee in the time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him, for thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Verse 8, and then God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. You're so close to him that he can just look and you can see where he's looking. And he's guiding and directing your path. Acknowledging your sin. In all your ways, acknowledge him includes acknowledging the things that he doesn't like. If you're trusting in him with all your heart, then you'll acknowledge him with everything about you. You'll start to pray and say, God, I need to ask you forgiveness for this sin in my life. I need to ask forgiveness for this area of bitterness in my life, this area of sin, this thing that I've harbored on the inside that nobody else knows about, but I know it's there, this selfishness. God, I've been wanting to do it this way. Instead of praying and asking you for direction, I've been praying and telling you what I want. There's a difference. Another way that people don't acknowledge God is, and this is obvious, in 1 John chapter 2 it says they don't acknowledge the Son. If you don't acknowledge the Son, you don't have the Father. In 1 John chapter 2, it says, if you don't acknowledge Christ, you don't have the Father. People who aren't acknowledging Jesus as their Savior aren't saved. You know what's happening in a lot of places today? 1 John chapter 2, I'm just going to show it to you. A lot of people are acknowledging God. They're hearing the word G-O-D, and they're saying, oh, that person is religious. But are they a Christian just because they talk about God? 1 John chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. I was asked to pray today over a meal in front of a bunch of people that I'm sure are not Christians. In my prayer, I acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as my Lord and Savior. Acknowledging Christ. Just because somebody says, in God we trust, doesn't mean they believe in Jesus. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Acknowledging him without acknowledging Jesus is not acknowledging him. In all your ways acknowledging him, and let him direct your paths. Now, lastly, back there in Proverbs chapter 3. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I've always pictured it as if I was down in a canyon, or like in the river of the Grand Canyon, and God was up in a helicopter hovering over with a radio down to me. And I was just calling out to him saying, what's up next? What do I do next? And he says, stick your rudder in on the left side, or paddle hard on the right side, or whatever it might be, or back paddle, or get out now and carry it across, or whatever. And you know what? Since he's up high and he sees more, If I'm acknowledging him, I'm letting him tell me exactly what to do. I'm letting him direct my path. I've never been to it. I think Mr. Adams has, and maybe some of you have, but I've never gone to that maze. I don't even know if it's still open. But I think there's a tower up above, and the people up above are trying to tell you, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, it's right over there, you know, and you're lost. Let me tell you, there's real people in this world that have done that with God. I'm not saying with helicopters and radios. But one time, God radioed down and said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. It doesn't make any sense, but that's what I want you to do. I want you to build an ark. And so Noah didn't spend a month or a summer. Noah spent the rest of his career, the rest of his life, as far as his future was concerned, his present future, building a great big huge boat because somebody said to. Another guy was this man, Abraham. God radioed down and said, I want you to take your son and sacrifice him. But God knew what he was doing, and Abraham trusted him. And of course, he didn't allow him to actually sacrifice him and as a burnt offering. He just was testing him. I was talking about just last Sunday, there was a prophet that came and told the widow woman, God wants you to feed me first. But she agreed. She acknowledged God and went ahead and did it, and God took care of her. There was a little boy, had a little sack lunch with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Hey, the Lord wants your lunch. Forget it. I think if I'd have been that kid, I'd have stuffed it in my mouth. I think if Grant was there, he'd have done the same thing. He'd have had half of it. If Grant was there, the lunch would have been gone. And that young man gave his lunch to the crowd, and God split it up and made a huge multiplication out of it. He will direct thy paths. Thy word's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I can trust him. I can trust him for everything. You name one thing that you can't trust God to help you with. You name one decision you got to make. Whether you're Brian in Dakota and you just graduated, or whether you're younger than that, or whether you're older than that, you name one thing that you don't need God to help you with. I mean, the major life decisions, the things in you. What should I spend this time on? What should I spend this money? Lord, so teach us to number our days, the Bible says, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. How many of you know how many days you got left? I don't. But guess who does know how many days you got left? Acknowledge him in all your ways. Moses didn't know what he was doing. Moses just trusted the Lord, and God led him across the Red Sea onto dry land. Now, here's what I love. We're going to close. One of the great verses in the Bible is in Romans chapter 8, and it says this. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God with all your heart. Romans chapter 8, 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, with all your heart. Let me tell you something. I've been talking about boyfriend-girlfriend relationships because it does seem to apply a lot. If a young man or a young lady has to divide their love for God with their love for a person, that's not the right person. Because the right person won't interfere with your God love. If a job has to divide your heart between your God and this job, it's not the right job. If the career path is going to divide between the love for God and the career path, it's not the right career path. It's really very simple. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And God's a jealous God, and I was talking about this morning. He doesn't divide his love with others. He doesn't allow you to have a little fling over here and call it okay. He calls it adultery when you go off and do something else. It's all for him. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't have to be a missionary on the other side of the world. It doesn't have to be some pastor or missionary to be actually in God's will. But it does have to be what God wants you to be, where he wants you to be. And that's only going to happen when you acknowledge him in all your ways and let him direct your paths. And so Grant, I have no idea what Grant's supposed to be when he grows up. Everett, I have no idea what you're supposed to be when you grow up, but I know who does. And I also think he's given you some parents to help you understand that. But I don't think they know exactly what you're supposed to be either, but I know who does, and that's God. And you acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your paths, and he'll lead you and guide you and show you the next step and introduce you to the next person you're supposed to meet and the next place you're supposed to be. If you acknowledge him in all your ways. However, if you find yourself over here and it just doesn't seem right and you know that you didn't even get there the right way, get out of there. I'm talking about little decisions and big decisions. I'll just give you an illustration. You might even think this is really dumb, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Just popped in my head earlier tonight. I was going to get married. I was about to get married and I was thinking about a honeymoon. And I was wondering, what does God want me to do, and how should I go about doing this? And so I was just thinking, and I like to plan ahead. I always like to plan ahead. And I got this advertisement in the mail, and it was this advertisement for a resort, Sandy Beach. I think it was the Sands or something like that. Does that sound familiar? Or Sandals or Sand? I don't know. But anyway, but on the front of it was this woman in a bikini. And it was supposed to be on the backside. It was supposed to be a great deal. And I got it in the mail, and I'm looking at the backside about what a great deal it was. And the Holy Spirit said, "Listen, if that's what I wanted you to do, I wouldn't have sent it to you with a picture of a bikini on it." I said, "You know what, Holy Spirit? You're right." And I tossed it in the garbage. Now, you might laugh at that, but I'm telling you right now, that's just acknowledging God. Is this a good decision or a bad decision? Is this the right thing or a wrong thing? Is this what God would have or not what God would have? I can trust him to show me the right path. By the way, we didn't go to the Sands. God had something better. And God knows, and we can trust him. We can trust him. So I was talking about this vehicle, this truck that my boys would like us to. I don't know if I'm going to buy a truck or not, but I know this. God will tell me when it's supposed to happen, if it's supposed to happen. Truth is, my truck still runs fine. I get angry at it once in a while, especially when I got to cut my arm just trying to change the stupid lock inside the door that went bad last week. But you know what? It runs. And I'm not worried. God supplies my needs. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." What does that mean? That means I'm a sheep, and I'm just supposed to do what? In all my ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and the shepherd will direct my paths. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. I'm just a dumb sheep who needs a shepherd. So in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct my paths. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's nothing I really need. He takes care of everything. He supplies my need. He takes care of those things behind the scenes. I know I can trust him. He'll lead me to the green grass and the still waters. I can trust him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. But Moses, the Egyptian army's coming. Well, we're just going to keep following the cloud. I don't know what else to do. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy... Yeah, but we're going to go to the dead. We're going to die. Oh, it's terrible. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Just follow the Lord. It's simple. Another song I sing a lot is, "My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow my Lord." And you know what's neat about going through the wilderness is I don't want to be very far behind him because it gets scary. I want to be right on his heels. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. You got a big decision to make? Everybody in this room's got a big decision to make. You got something coming up in 6 months. You got something you don't even know about yet, but you know it's coming. We all got one of those. We need to trust him. Learn those two verses, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Learn them and practice them every day of your life. Whether you're this tall or this tall, whether you're 20 or 80, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We were singing this a little bit ago. I want to sing it again tonight. It's 822. And when you get down to verse 4, it says, Jesus, what a guide and keeper. While the tempest still is high, 8:22, storms about me, night o'ertakes me. He, my pilot, hears my cry. I was thinking about that. And of course, when this song was read, was written, it was a ship. It was not an airplane. And so the storms about me, the water breaking, the tempest is high. He, my pilot, hears my cry. He's up there piloting the ship. Maybe I'm down there getting soaking wet and I'm yelling, oh, I'm scared. But he hears. But you know what? He's still the pilot. I don't want to trade places with him. I don't want the wheel. I need him to have the wheel.